Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's again a big privilege to be here. I hold this, what we do here on Wednesday nights, in very high esteem. I know how important it is to all of you that you're able to steal an hour in order to come study Torah in your busy schedules. And one thing I can guarantee, when you leave, the blessings of Torah are on you. Tonight when you go home and you kiss your children, or you lie down in your bed, or you're just leaving the beracha. The beracha is just... You're lucky, Joey and Lauren, to have the class in the house itself. There's no better purification. There's no, everybody's looking for good luck charms, you know, rabbit's foot, some yellow red strings, and all sorts of gizmos, and hands, and eyeballs, and all different types of accessories in order to somehow give them good luck. There is no better luck in the world than to have Torah in your house and on your souls, and then take it and deposit it wherever you find your final destination is. So to that I say you're very lucky. Tonight we talk about an episode in the Torah that is a very dramatic episode. You all know it. It's the episode we just read in the Torah about the Akedat Yitzhak. I think you all know the story. It's a story that has lasted through the ages, where God tells Abraham to go take his son, Yitzhak, and go put him on the Mizbeach, go slaughter him. And we know Abraham very dutifully, very obediently, doesn't ask any questions, and he goes and he does it. And the Gemara says this was the 10th test of Abraham Avinu. He had 10 tests, 10 major tests, and this was the 10th and final one. And after he passes the test, God says, "Now I know you're a God-fearing man." My question to you tonight is a very simple one. Wasn't this really the test of Yitzhak? After all, he's the one that had to stick his neck out and be willing to die. Not an easy thing. Yitzhak was not 4 years old when this happened. He was 37 years old. So he was an adult. He could have told his father, "I'm not interested. I don't want to die. You know, go kill Yishmael. I don't want you to kill me. I'm not interested in going on the Mizbeach." To me, this was the challenge of Yitzhak, that he didn't question, that he was willing to sacrifice his life. Why then do they give this test on the list of Abraham's tests? The Pasuk says, "V'ha'Elohim nisa et Abraham," and God tested Abraham, as if this is his success. The strong question. You know, how did you learn till now? How did you understand why this is a bigger test for Abraham and not Yitzhak? Why is this considered his challenge and his success? So I'm going to explain it to you what I explained in previous years. And then in honor of you tonight, I'm going to say a new interpretation. In previous years, we said the following. Abraham Avinu found God on his own. Abraham didn't have a teacher. He didn't have a rabbi. There was no yeshiva. His father was an idolater, worshipped Avodah Zarah. He was raised in an irreligious, paganistic house. But Abraham Avinu, using his mind, he said, "Cannot be there's a world like this and there's no creator. Has to be somebody created the world. If there's a book, there has to be an author. If there's a painting, there has to be a painter. If there's a building, there has to be an architect. If there's a world, there has to be a creator." It was logical. And for years and years and years, he came to the truths of God and the oneness of God. To Avraham Avinu, Borei Olam, the creator, made perfect sense. God is kind, God is just, God is generous. To Avraham Avinu, he understood Borei Olam, it was obvious, like we understand this is a glass of water. It was apparent to Avraham Avinu. That's why he was so successful to promote God, because it was easy for him. He understood it. To Abraham, God is 1 plus 1 equals 2. It's the easiest thing. You could sell it to anybody. You could sell it to a first grader. Because it makes sense. God comes to Abraham at one point in his life and says, you're going to have a son, Yitzhak. And from this son, Yitzhak, you're going to have a great nation that was going to come from him. From Yitzhak. This is great news. Beautiful. Then all of a sudden, God comes to Avraham and says, take Yitzhak and put him on the Mizbeah, put him on the Sabbath, put him on the altar. For the first time, Avraham Avinu was now faced with a God that doesn't make sense. How could you tell me that from Yitzhak is going to be a great nation and tell me to slaughter him? If I do B, then A cannot come true. How could God tell me two statements that contradict? All of a sudden now the test of Abraham was to serve God when he doesn't make sense. To serve God when everything's going good. It's easy, huh? Baruch Hashem, the guy's healthy, his business is good, his family is good, he has no problem in the world. Easy, of course, you're living with God, God is great. But now all of a sudden Abraham Avinu has a contradiction. How could God tell him something that is impossible to reconcile? Your son Yitzhak is going to be a great nation. Okay, that's good news. Now kill him. This is the test of Emunah when things are not going according to what you understand. This is the highest level. The greatness of Avraham Avinu was he didn't question God. And he went in darkness. The Pasuk writes when he was walking to the Akedah, Vayar et ha-makom merachom. He saw the place from far. As he was walking, he saw the place. The rabbis say the word makom is the name of God. We say in Haggadah Shel Pesach, Baruch ha-makom, Baruch hu. Makom is the name of God. The Pasuk says, Vayar et ha-makom merachom. For the first time in Abraham's life, he saw God from far. Until that point, God was close to him. God made so much sense. God was rational. God was logical. And now all of a sudden, it was foggy. It was darkness. The greatness of Avraham Avinu was, even though he didn't understand, he went. This is the big test of religion. Because God doesn't always make sense to us. God not always is 1 plus 1 equals 2. Many things in life we question. If God is so kind, why would he do this and why would he do that? The test of the Jew is the test of Avraham Avinu. Not only to be loyal when everything works out according to your schedule, but the true test of Emunah, like it says in the Pasuk, Ve'emunah techa balelot. Emunah applies at night, in the darkness, at the time where things are not so obvious. That's where the test of Emunah starts. In English, we call this blind faith. You hear that saying, blind faith? Without questions. There's an amazing midrash. The midrash says, when God gave the Torah to the Jewish people, it says, Mount Moriah, Haram Moriah, where the Akedah Yitzhak was done, God lifted Haram Moriah and brought it to Har Sinai. Do you believe it? So when we received the Torah, there were two mountains. There was Har Sinai and Har Moriah. They asked the rabbis, well, Har Sinai is not enough, and you got to bring Har Moriah over there. For what was the Hadush of bringing Har Moriah to Har Sinai? The Jewish people came to Har Sinai. God has a book. He tells them, you want the book? What should have the Jewish people have said? What they should have said was, well, let me read it first, and then I'll get back to you tomorrow. If I come to you and say, ladies and gentlemen, I have a book over here with all the instructions of life. If you follow the book, it's going to be a great item. Okay, who's in? Raise your hand. I can be in. I don't know. What does it say in the book? Maybe it says I have to stand on my head for 3 days in a row. Maybe it says I can't eat. But I don't know what it says. No. Let me read it. and I'll get back to you.
If I give you papers, at least could you sign it?
Sign it? There's 100 pages.
I didn't read it. I'm a lawyer, read it.
No, no, you have to sign it. Nobody would sign before reading. God comes to the Jewish people. I have a Torah over here. What's your opinion? Naseh v'nishma. We take it. We'll take it, then we'll read it. Rabotai, where did the Jewish people get this ability to accept the Torah blindly without any questions? You know where we got it from? We got it from our grandfather, the Rabbi Avinu. Because the traits of a grandparent come into the children. When Avraham Avinu that moment did the Akedat Yitzhak without asking questions, blind faith, that brought a gene in us where we'll also be able to serve God blindly. Don't take what I'm saying lightly. The traits of the parents and the grandparents come out in the children. I was in shul recently. There's a kid sitting next to me in the shul. He sang the Shema in a very distinct way. Echad! He says Echad, very funny. Okay, I heard him. I didn't say anything. The guy says Shema, and that's fine. So there's an old man sitting next to me. He says, you know something? There's only one man that used to say the Shema like this. His name was Nassim Shalom. This is the way he would say the Kiryat Shema. I haven't heard it. Nassim Shalom passed away many years ago. So I asked the boy, I said, by any chance, what's your name? He said, my name is Nassim Shalom. Huh. Nassim Shalom? What do you mean, Nassim Shalom? He says, my grandfather was Nassim Shalom. I said, I want to ask you a question. Did you ever see your grandfather? No, he passed away before I was born. Impossible! I don't know your grandfather either. But this guy says, you say the Shema exactly like him. You never saw him, you never heard a tape record of him. Did you know your grandfather has this distinct way of saying Shema? I don't know. Amazing how this is transferred down into the family. I never saw my grandfather, the one I'm named after. But my grandmother claims you have exactly the traits of your grandfather. I could agree, I never saw him. I don't know how he talked, with his hands this way, with his hands that way, if he sat like this, sat like that. No, exactly. Well, it's in the genes. So when Avraham Avinu did what he did, we're better off because of it. Because if you look at our genes, we all have a little of Avraham Avinu in us. Our family tree goes all the way back to my wife's family can trace themselves back to David HaMelech, Alav Hashem. They had a family tree. 2 summers ago, by my wife's grandmother, Deal. I walked in and they, like this, over here, family tree. What does it say, the Sultan? Oh, this is the family tree to show how the Sultan family could trace themselves back all the way to David HaMelech. And I was honored that I made it to the family tree now through marriage, so I'm on the same tree as David HaMelech as well. And they're saying to her, oh, you see, you're on the tree with us. Okay, very nice. They're very proud. But on the tree, there's 2 names written in bold. Of course, I thought my name would be written in bold, with the rabbi and the family and everything. But my name was written very small, actually. Maybe smaller than the other names. Of course, David HaMelech's name was written big, which I'm glad that they even had the sense to do that. They put David's name very big. And then on the middle somewhere, another big name, maybe bigger than David HaMelech, Jerry Seinfeld. It seems somehow they figured out that they're also related to him. But I said to them, I think you're more excited to be related to this guy than to David HaMelech, Alav Shalom. What are you giving him such a big, they put his name in red, with stars on and all that. David HaMelech, they gave a little, little extra highlight. Anyway, we're all related to Avraham Avinu. On every one of your trees, I don't care where you come from, Europe or Uruguay or Zambia, at the end of the day, on the top of everybody's tree is Avraham. So when he was able to serve God without question, many years later, the Jewish people did the same exact thing. Naseh v'nishma. That's why God brought Har Moriah to Har Sinai. To tell the Jewish people, you see your reaction today, your reaction didn't stop today at Sinai, your reaction already was created during the time of the Akedah. Where Abraham says, even without understanding, I accept whatever you're going to tell me more than one hour. Without question. You tell me, what do you mean, Rabbi? I want want to understand my God. I agree with you, but you can't always understand.
And God doesn't owe us an explanation.
Who are we to have an explanation? Your parents. When you were young, remember your parents would tell you sometimes, your mother would say to you, go to your room. So you were a little fresh. You said, why do I have to go to my room? And what would your mother say?
Oh, exactly.
Because I said so. That's enough. I don't have to explain to you why you have to go to your room. I'm your mother. Mother doesn't have to explain to the child. You listen to what I say. So God doesn't owe us an explanation. We have questions. Oh, why did you do this? And how come you did that? And I have claims. You have claims. I created you. Be quiet. Keep on walking. If I want to reveal myself to you, I will. If not, I will not. I don't have to show myself to you. Sometimes you just have to follow orders. There was a story once. There was a story once of an ambassador of a certain country. So the king tells the ambassador, I need you to go to a certain country. The king goes to the ambassador and says, I need you to go to the country and represent us. Of course, that's my job, I'm ambassador. He says, you're going to do fine. But I just have one instruction. Yes, what is it? Don't make any bets when you're there. He said, bets? What do you mean bets? I'm not going to gamble, I'm going to... I know, could you follow that one rule I'm telling you? No bets. Why? I can't tell you why. No bets. Just accept what I tell you. Okay, no problem, I'll do that. He goes to another country. The king sees the ambassador. Ah, Baruch Abba, thank you for coming. He said, but I can't believe it that they sent me somebody that's hunchback. He says, what are you talking about? I'm not a hunchback. He says, listen, you're a hunchback. He says, my dear king, I'm the ambassador, I'm not a hunchback. So the king says, I'll bet you $1 million you're a hunchback. So the guy's thinking, he says, I know the king told me don't make any bets, but I know, I know, I'm not, I'll win the easy $1 million, I'll give all the $1 million to the king, I won't even keep it. But he's thinking to himself, but the king said, don't bet. He had a reason. But you know, he wasn't talking about this. This is a shoo-in, it's a guaranteed, I know. So the king says, no, you want a bet? You have a bet. So the king says, okay, take off your shirt. Let me see if you're a hunchback. He takes off his shirt. The king looks. He says, you got me. You're not a hunchback. I lost. He takes $1 million. He gives it to the ambassador. The ambassador says, what a stupid king. What a dumb sucker bet. The guy lost $1 million like that. Anyway, he does whatever he has. So he goes back to his country. The king sees him, says, how was it? Great, I have a story to tell you. Before you tell me a story, did you bet? He said, that's the story, that's the story. Oh, no, don't tell me any story. I hope you didn't bet. He said, no, you're going to be very proud of me. He says, what? I told you not to take a bet. He said, don't worry, here's $1 million. Here, we won, it's yours. He says, please, could you tell me what the bet was? He says, the king told me I'm a hunchback. I told him I'm not a hunchback. I'll bet you $1 million. He says, don't tell me. Did you take off your shirt? He says, of course, I had to show him. He says, I bet the king $5 million that he won't be able to take off your shirt. Why did you listen to what I told you? You thought you're smarter than me, you thought you know better. Now we lost money because I told you don't do it. Which means we can't always understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu's ways. Hashem says something, accept it. So Avram didn't understand. You tell me today Yitzhak is going to be a great nation. Then the next day you tell me Yitzhak is going to be slaughtered. Can't be Hashem. Both cannot. Don't ask questions. Be a loyal servant. Go do it. That's why the test was greater for Avraham. Because Avraham had both statements in his head. Yitzhak didn't have both statements. He was just told, be sacrificed. Okay? There's no contradiction to Yitzhak.
Yitzhak didn't know he's going to be the father of a great nation. He wasn't told that. So to Yitzhak, it's one statement. Go sacrifice for God. I can do that. But to Avraham, the whole time he's going, A doesn't equal B, B doesn't equal A. That's the answer that we explained in previous years. But now I'm going to explain to you a new answer. It's based on a teaching that was said by the Gaon from Vilna, Gaon the Bidyar from Vilna. The Gaon said a rule like this. Listen to the rule. He said, a person comes into this world. What is his purpose for coming into this world? He has many functions, many objectives. One of the main objectives is to break your nature. Whatever your nature is to certain things, to try to break it. You shouldn't be controlled by your tendencies, by your way. You have to go against your nature. What do you mean to say? They once asked the Hafetz Chaim. They said, Rabbi, everybody came into this world to make certain tikkun, to fix something. How do I know what I'm supposed to fix? So the Hafetz Chaim told them, whatever is the most difficult thing for you, that's what you came to fix. You have somebody, they learn Torah very good, they pray with minyan every day, but they have anger. That's what they have chaos, anger. So the Hafetz Chaim says, you didn't come to the world to study Torah, that's easy for you. You didn't come to give charity, that's easy for you. You didn't come to, you know what you came for? To break the anger. Your hardest and weakest trait, that's what you came to fix. That's how you'll know. Some people, anger is not their thing. They don't get angry. They're very, very calm. Nothing that doesn't bother them. What's their item? To them, they're lazy. They can't get up in the morning. They can't get out of bed. Otherwise, they study. They do what they have to do. They give charity. Everything else is good. Laziness. Another person, they like to talk about people and gossip. But besides that, they're good people. Everybody has a weakness towards something. Another person has a weakness towards food. They have to eat food of different types of cuisines and this type. They can't control themselves. Whatever your weakness is, the goal of this world is what? To break it. I'll give you an example. Avraham Avinu, what was his nature?
Chesed.
Not Chesed, what you think Chesed is. He visited a couple of people in the hospital. Avraham Avinu was the epitome of Chesed. Chesed to a degree that the world never saw such a degree of Chesed. He's praying for Sedom. Sedom is Sin City. The worst people is Sedom. And Avraham's praying, maybe it's 15 tzaddikim, 25 tzaddikim. He had such a love of mankind, he couldn't see anybody perish, anybody be destroyed. He had such tolerance for everybody. This is the man that's suffering on the third day of the Brit Milah. I want to tell you, third day of Brit Milah, 99 years old, and he's running to give guests, three strangers, food and mustard and everything. We can't imagine the chesed of Abraham. The Navi says, "Tetenemet Yaakov chesed Abraham." He owns chesed. The copyright of chesed is Abraham's. I don't want to say it, but it could be that chesed came natural to Abraham. Of course, he did it on a high level, but that was his. They say certain people, he's a nice guy. Certain people, they're just good, nice people. They'll give the shirt off their back. They'll drop everything on a dime to go run to do a favor to you. There's certain people like that. Avraham Avinu was like that times a million. But he was just, his nature was good. What's the hardest thing for Avraham Avinu to do? To go against the nature. What's going against the nature? To be cruel. I can't be cruel. But as long as you don't serve God in the opposite, you're not serving God yet. Because could be you're just doing what comes natural to you. When do you
show your loyalty to Hashem when God tells you to do something that's against your nature. Now already you show that you're loyal, that you're not serving your traits, you're not doing what's normal for you, you're doing what God told you. So when God tells Abraham, go sacrifice your son, that's the hardest thing for Abraham, because that's the opposite of who his trait is. Now let's see if you can serve now. What do you mean? I'm such a nice man. I do favors for me. You tell me to do something. So you're not serving me. You're doing what's comfortable for you. You're doing what's easy for you. The true test of a man, if he's loyal to Hashem, he'll serve God even if it's against his own way. Listen, we're all religious people. We believe when Mashiach comes, one of the mitzvot is to destroy Amalek. You have to destroy Amalek, the nation of Amalek. So we're very, very excited. Our Purim, we bring our guns to Shul, we hear Haman's name. We hear his name on Shabbat, Amalek, and we stamp on the floor. You think it's so easy to do this mitzvah? Now Mashiach comes, you can come to your Hezeb baby, 2-year-old baby. Who's this guy? Jack Amalek. Okay, what do you want to do with him? Kill him. Kill a baby? He's Amalek. Did you read the Torah? Mahotim Hayzikra. I can't do it. You can't do it. So then you're not serving God then. You only do things that are comfortable for you to do. Visiting sick people, honoring you. Now the Torah says, kill the 2-year-old baby Amalek. Not for me. Also not for me. So then you're not a loyal servant of God, a worker. He works for a company. The boss tells him to do something. Does he have a choice to say, well, this I'll do, this I'm not going to do? So then you're working for yourself. You're your own boss. But this I'm not comfortable doing. So then you're fine. Get out of here. I'm not hiring you to do things you're comfortable, not comfortable. You follow orders. So when Avraham Avinu is being tested, God tells him, you did chesed your whole life. Now see if you can go against yourself. Now let's see if you can break the trait. The Gaon of Vilna writes, there's two mitzvot in the Torah that the Torah promises long life. What are the two mitzvot that the Torah promises long life? Respecting parents is one. What's the other mitzvot? Shiluach HaKan. You know everything already. Shiluach HaKan. What's Shiluach HaKan? The mother bird, something with the birds. I'm explaining to you simply. Kibud Avaim is Chesed. The parent, the child takes care of the mother and the father, and feeds them and bathes them when they get older, and takes them to the doctor, and visits them. Chesed, it's all kindness. It's easy. Kibud Avaim is a mitzvah where it's our nature to want to give. Okay, what's the bird's mitzvah? You have a mother bird sitting on the chickens. Anything nicer than that? The mother bird sitting on the chickens. Beautiful family. The mother bird singing, makashot, chirping. Beautiful sounds. All of a sudden she sees the rabbi walking towards her with a ladder. There's a ladder in one hand and a broom in another hand. She doesn't know what the rabbi wants. The rabbi puts the broom and the ladder against the wall. He starts climbing up the ladder. The mother bird says to the children, oh, kids, the rabbi is coming to visit us. Oh, the tzaddik is coming to visit us. Clean the nest. He's going to give us berachot. Everybody, when the rabbi comes in, you stand up. The rabbi comes up on the ladder, and the mother bird is looking at the rabbi so nicely. Oh, thank you for coming, Hakam. Baruch Abba. Give us berachot. And the rabbi takes the stick. And the mother bird says, what are you doing over here? Get out of here. So the mother bird says, what's this guy? This guy's a crazy guy. This guy's a lunatic. And the mother comes back to the nest. The mother takes the stick again. Go away. Shallayach t'shallach ha'ta'im. Send the mother away 100 times, the Gemara says. Finally, she's scared. She doesn't want to come back. Now she's far away. She's looking. What's going on? The rabbi takes the bag, the brown paper bag. He takes the chickens. He puts them in his bag. He folds the bag. And now, he starts walking down the ladder.
The mother bird comes back to the nest, empty.
He says, what just happened?
The guy wrecked my nest. He wrecked the whole house.
And then the bird looks, the mother bird looks to see who this guy is. And he sees the rabbi smiling with the chickens in his hand. Everybody's coming to him. Chazaka baruch, chazaka baruch. Oh, you did a great thing. And the mother's crying. What a great thing. These are cruel people. What does he benefit?
He hears them talking. What do you want to do with the eggs?
Ah, maybe we'll go, we'll make an omelet. We'll do some. What? That's what the guy did? He came, he wrecked my whole nest. He takes the omelet now, goes home and nothing, and they're telling him, chazaka baruch.
Now, I didn't come to explain to this mitzvah. That's for sure. You need a bigger rabbi to explain to this mitzvah. But all of us will agree, does the Torah say this mitzvah?
Yes.
Do you understand it? We don't understand it.
Okay, leave it those things.
But God said it.
Okay, so God said it.
So I have to assume that God's smarter than me. That even though my understanding of this mitzvah is very, very cruel, just to go in left field and shoot the mother bird, take the... But if Hashem says to do it, but the Gaon of Vilna says, that's why both these mitzvot have long life. Because God's teaching you to be complete, you have to serve God both ways. You have to serve God with chesed, and then when God tells you to shut the chesed and do something that's difficult, you have to do that as well. Until you do both, you're not complete. If a person goes up the ladder and says, I can't do it, I said, you're not a servant of God. You only do things that are comfortable for you. Well, it's a little uncomfortable, then you can't do it. It's not that servant of God. So Avraham Avinu was told by Hashem, you serve me chesed till now. I'm very proud of you. Now break it. Now go the other way. By the way, what was the trait of Yitzhak? You know what the trait of Yitzhak was? Yitzhak's trait was Geburah. Geburah is strict. His nature was strict. We say on the high holidays, Anenu pachad Yitzhak. Pachad Yitzhak. Yitzhak is fear. So Yitzhak's nature is judgment. So for him to jump on the Mizbeah and be slaughtered, that's his way. So it wasn't a big test for Yitzhak. But for Avraham, who's the man of kindness, to go against himself and do this, that's the bigger test. God tells Abraham in the beginning, he says, Kahna et mincha, take your son. Abraham says, I have two sons. He says, it yichidicha, your only son. He says, they're both only sons. Yitzhak is the only son from Sarai, Ishmael is the only son from Hagar. Asher ahavta, the one that you love. He says, I love both of them. So finally God says, it yitzhak. He cornered him. That's a checkmate. It's Yitzhak. He has no answer anymore. So the rabbis ask, why did God have to tell Abraham so slow? Just tell him, take Yitzhak. Why? So the rabbis learn a lesson of life from this. That whenever you're telling somebody bad news, you shouldn't tell it to them in one second. Because it's too scary. So you have to tell it to them slowly. You don't tell somebody, you heard? So-and-so died. Well, he died, I can't believe it. You go slow with them. You heard so-and-so is not feeling well. He's sick. He was in the hospital. He's having a heart attack. And then, slowly, you tell them at the end, you coach them into it. You don't tell them in 1 second. So God says to Abraham, Kahna, Bincha, your son, I have two sons, Yehidecha, your only son, so-and-so, until he gives it to them. Like the guy who bought a lottery ticket. He told his wife, go to the store, see if we won the lottery ticket. She goes to the store, sure enough, they won $10 million. She says, how am I going to tell my husband? He has a weak heart. If I tell him we won $10 million, I have a heart attack. It's too much. So she went to his doctor. She told the doctor, listen, doctor, we won $10 million. I don't know how to break it to my husband. He's a very weak heart, as you know. Could you break the news to him? I'll handle it. Could you do it this way? Sakana, if you tell them straight. You can't tell them straight. I'll take care of it. He calls him to the doctor's office. He says, Jack, I heard you bought a lottery ticket. Hey, how do you know I bought a lottery ticket? I heard your wife was telling me you bought a lottery ticket. He says, what if I would tell you that you won $100,000? He says, what? $100,000?
He said, if I want $100,000, I'd pay all my credit card bills, I could have that to zero, I'd be debt free. He said, what if I told you you won $1 million?
$1 million!
Not only would I finish all my credit cards, but now I go on a shopping spree, I buy all the things in my life that I was never able to afford. And if I told you you won $5 million, I'd retire, finish. I quit my job as of today, and that's it. I go live in the, you know, vacation the rest of my life. And he says, Jack, and what if I told you you won $10 million? He says, if I won $10 million, I'll give you half. The doctor had a heart attack. He got shot. He didn't want to. What he was trying to do to the patient, it backfired. It happened to him. So God tells Abraham slowly, Kahna, Bincha, Chaidicha, it was a shocker. But why does God have to tell Abraham, Kahna? That means please. Please, please, please do it. It's a test. What do you mean? You don't say please. If I'm a teacher giving you a test, I don't tell the student, please pass the test. But here's the test. If you pass, you pass. If you fail, you fail. It's almost of God's begging Abraham, Kahna, please do it for me. Why does God have an interest? So the Midrash writes, God tells Abraham, God says to Abraham, if you don't pass this test, the first 9 are worthless. I need you to pass this one, because if you fail this one, then the first 9, they don't count. Why? Why shouldn't the first 9 count? If I'm studying to become a lawyer, I take 9 tests, I get 100 on all the 9 tests. Now I take a 10 test, I fail. That means I failed all the 9? No, I passed 9. Why is God saying, please do this one? So because if you fail this one, you fail them all. You know what the explanation is? Based on what I'm telling you tonight. Until now, Abraham is serving God chesed, 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 chesed. Now God tells him to serve him with strictness, with hard, with cruelty. Kill your son! If you don't pass this, you know what the people are going to say? He didn't do the other 9 for you, God. He did it because that's his nature. And therefore, when it was difficult against his nature, he couldn't do it. So therefore, you see, he doesn't serve you. He goes with himself. And therefore, God was telling, please, don't make me look bad. If you failed this one, then they're going to say you failed all 9. They're going to say you weren't doing it because I told you to do it. You were doing it because that's your way. You're just a nice guy. So the 10th test actually makes Abraham pass all the other 9 as well. What does God tell Abraham after he passes the test? Most people can't understand this. God says, Ataya Dati, now I know, ki yireh elohim ata. Now I know you're God-fearing. Now he knows. He's 137 years old. Now he knows he's God-fearing. He didn't prove himself yet, Abraham. God has many names. Some of the names of God are mercy, and some of the names of God are judgment. What's the name of judgment of God? Very good. Elohim is right. Very good, Joe. Excellent. Elohim is judgment. What does God tell Abraham after Akedah? Atai adati, now I know, ki yireh Elohim ata. Now you serve me with Elohim. Till now you always served me with chesed. Now you were able to serve me when it was difficult and cruel. You said, as hard as it is, you broke yourself. Kibud aleihem shiluach hakan. You need both. That's why both have long life. Because God wants you to serve him with both traits. Now, I don't know if you have paper in front of you. I'm going to try to convey this from Dush to you now. The beginning of the Akedah, God says to Abraham, it says, V'ha Elohim nisa et Abraham. And God tested Abraham. V'ha Elohim. What I tell you Elohim is? Strict judgment. Yes? Listen good to what I'm going to tell you now. There's a name of God, Yudkeh Vavke. You heard of that name? That's the main name, Yudkeh Vavke. You always see that name. Every Berachah is Yudkeh Vavke. That name Yudke Vavke is the name of mercy of Hashem. By the way, the numerical value of Yudke Vavke equals 26. That's why you always hear people, ah, $26 to the shul. Where do they get 26? Yudke Vavke, that's God's name. By the way, God also equals 26. G-O-D has equal 26. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. G is 7. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O. That's 15. 15 and 7 is how much? 22. D, A, B, C, D is 4. That's 26. So G-O-D is also 26. Well, that's famous. I'm not going to give you a matriot in English. Okay? I'm coming to give you a shiur in Torah. So Yudke Vavke is 26. That's the name of mercy. There's another name of God, which is the name of judgment, which is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That's the first word in the Amidah. Adonai Sepadai Tefta Opi Agit Ratecha. Whenever you see that word, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, judgment. If you switch those letters around, it spells the word Dina. Dina is Din. So look what you have on the right side, Yudke Vavke, the left side, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So you want to stay close to Yudke Vavke, and you want to stay clear of the judgment, yes? You know what the Holy Books say? The Holy Books say like this. Of course you want to stay next to the Yudke Vavke, which is the mercy. But the goal of life is not to leave the judgment. You want to turn the judgment into mercy. Why should I leave the judgment like it is? It's dangerous. Rabbi, how do I turn the judgment into mercy? So I'll tell you. I have a cup of coffee, black coffee, and I have sugar. The sugar is sweet. The coffee is bitter. So, I don't want to leave the coffee bitter. So what do? I take the sugar, I put it in the coffee. By mixing them together, now I have the best product. Now I turn the bitter into sweet. That is double judgment. Understand what I just did? So the holy books say, take the Yudke Vavke, and take the Aleph Dalet and Yud, put them together. This has four letters, this has four letters. Create a new name of God that has eight letters. Did you ever see this name of God that has eight letters?
Yeah.
It's in the Sidur. What's in the Sidur, I was telling you. Do you have a Sidur here, Joe, in the house? Can we get any Sidur you have should have this holy name of God. I want you to see with your own eyes what I'm telling you. Because I'm teaching you now a new kavanah that you could have, which sweetens the judgment that's on a person. If God forbid there's a judgment. Oh. This is the Kol Yaakov. The only one that doesn't have it.
That's what it's going to be.
You get another one?
If you have another one, better. Kol Yaakov. They don't offer you this treat. I want you to see with your own eyes. You have another one or no?
It's Eskenazi.
I don't think that one has the right
idea. Okay,
I'm going to have to write my own
paper. They're not
my feet on it. Okay, so I'm going to show you now. Watch. Give me a paper at least. Paper you have, Joe, or no? I want you to take the Yudke Vavke. I want you to take the Aleph Dalet Nun Yud and make an eight-letter name. How? One letter here, one letter here. One letter here, one letter here. So the Yud from Yudke Vavke and the Aleph of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud and then the He and then the Dalet. Alternate letters. You create a new name of God that has eight letters, and it says that name, when you think of it, sweetens the judgment. I'm going to write a few, and then you're going to pass it around, you're going to see it. This is Yud Ke Vav.
Okay. Here it is.
That's it. No, it doesn't happen. Watch. This is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. I don't see the alternating in this.
No, not in there. No, it's in the.
Now watch. Here's Yudke Vavke, which equals 26. This is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is Adonai Sabatai Tiftach, for example, which equals 65. This is mercy. Beautiful. I love the mercy. That's the sugar. Here's the judgment. I don't want to keep the judgment. So I want to combine the sugar and the coffee together. So now what I do is I have a new name. I take the Yud from Yud Ke Vavke, the Aleph from Adanut, Yud Aleph, I take the second letter, the He, and then this letter, and I go one for one, and I create a new name. And any time you say Hashem's name, it says, to think in your mind of that eight-letter name, and that brings tremendous mercy unto you, unto the world. So you're adding the letters 26 plus 65. What is 26 plus 65 equal?
91.
Hence, 91 is a very holy number. Because 91 represents the combining of judgment and mercy and the sweetening of the judgments. Many people heard of 26, but the 91 combination is even stronger. That's why when somebody says a beracha, what do you answer?
Amen.
Amen. What's the numerical value of amen? Aleph is 1, Mem Nun is 90, Amen is 91. Whenever you're answering Amen as well, you're combining the mercy and the judgment, and you're bringing down a tremendous, we call it a mituka, sweetening of the judgment. That's why you never give up to answer Amen. There's ladies today, they make Amen parties. They bring people to their house, they have food on the table, everybody starts, okay, we're starting now. They start with the mitzvah, Borei name is Zorot, Amen. Amen. Next one, Borei name is Zorot, Amen. Amen party. Okay, now we're going to do Eitz. Take the grapes, Borei Priya Eitz, Amen. And they do it for different things. This one wants to have children. This one wants to have Parnasa. This one wants to get married. This one wants to have whatever it may be. So they say before they start the party, we're doing this for this purpose. And all the Amens that we answer should be for this Zichut. So every time they answer Amen, it's 91. Judgment, sweetening. Judgment, sweetening it. Judgment, sweetening. And all the judgments become sweetened. Just by answering Amen. Let's continue. How do you say an angel in Hebrew?
Malach.
Very good, Malach. Okay, how much is Malach? Mem is what? 40. Lamed is 30. Aleph is 1. That's 71. Chaf is 20. 91. Malach is also 91. Because the Malach also, the Malach comes to protect the person and also saves the person from the judgments. Combination. The name of God is what? Elohim. Elohim is 86. That's judgment. How would I make from Elohim 91? I'm short 5, correct? How about I change the word Elohim into Ha Elohim? If I take Elohim and make it Ha Elohim, I have 91. What is the Pasuk saying when God tested Avraham Avinu? Veha Elohim nisa et Avraham. Not Elohim. The test of Avraham was Ha Elohim. If he can combine mercy and judgment together. The Torah is telling us what the test was. By using the name Veha Elohim, it's telling you, you know what the test of Abraham was? Veha Elohim Nisa'at Abraham. The test was, can he combine? Till now he's only doing mercy. Can he bring the judgment into the mercy? Could he do both? Could he go against his natural tendency? Oh, Veha Elohim. So the Torah is telling you what the test was. It's right there in the Pasuk. Elohim 91. What does this have to do with us? In marriage and in parenting, this last Musar is very strong. Because in marriage, it's always going against your nature. The nature of a person is he's always right. It's a nature. They're wrong, they're
follows whatever you say is the right approach.
When a person is in a marriage, it's always breaking yourself. And even though you have a tendency not to admit that you made a mistake, you have a tendency to hold on to your opinion. I was wrong. Mihila. The tendency of a man or a person is to get nervous. And when they get nervous, right away they say words that are not necessary. Break yourself. And don't say you can't do it. Don't say, Rabbi, that's who I am. I can't do that. Give me something else. No, I'm not going to give you something that you can do. The child tells me, Daddy, I ate the whole plate, but except the spinach. That's the only thing I wanted you to eat. Hadushi ate all the other sweet foods. I want you to eat the stuff that's difficult for you to eat. That's where the challenge of life is. None of the easy things that you're able to do. When a person walks into a store and he gives the clerk $20 and the girl gives, she's supposed to give $2 change, she gives him $200 bills. The nature of 9 out of 10 people is, be very calm, just take the $200 bills. Don't make it excited because you don't want it to realize a mistake. Thank you, very much, I appreciate it. Put it in your pocket and run for your life. That's the nature. God says, break it. Break it. Feel like everybody. Take it. Forget about Kiddush Hashem. Don't talk about Kiddush. They don't know you're Jewish. You're living on Gilligan's Island. You're far away from the world. Nobody knows where you are. But Hashem says, your nature is to take something that's belonged to you. Give it back. Just as an exercise. Go above yourself. Now you're broken. Now you served God in reverse. This is the test of Abraham, not the test of Yitzhak. Yitzhak, I mean, it was judgment himself. So to go on a mizbeach, be sacrificed, it's doable for him. But for Abraham is the challenge. No one should think, Rabbi, I can't do it, it's too hard. The addict thinks he can never become normal again. He thinks he's going to have to die in addiction. He's wrong. Because if Abraham Avinu was able to break himself, then we all can break, because we have the genes of Abraham in us. If he was able to overcome his hardest test, we can overcome our hardest test as well. Nobody should think we're predisposed. We can't. It's too great fun. No, you're wrong. You're on the family tree of Abraham Avinu. If he was able to break his hardest trait, you could break yours as well. Even if you tell me, Rabbi, when I committed the same sin 1,000 times already, so what? If you put your effort, you can break it as well. A man that commits sins, or a lady commits sins, they call them Rasha. Why do they call Rasha Rasha? Where do they get the word Rasha from? Because the Rasha thinks, God gave up on me. God doesn't give up on anybody. So we call the Rasha, because you know what Rasha stands for? Ribbono shel Olam. That even the lowest guy that fell to the lowest depths, Ribbono shel Olam, Rasha. God still says, you can overcome yourself. You can overcome your nature. These are the two approaches. The first approach is Emunah, blind faith. I once went to a big rabbi. Somebody had passed away in the community. It was a young man. I went to a big rabbi. I said, Rabbi, I have questions. He said, what's your questions? How could God do this? And so on and so forth. He says, let me tell you, my friend. In our religion, there's four questions. It's the Manishtana. We say those four questions on the night of Pesach. You're asking the fifth question. My God, that doesn't have the fifth question. Our religion allows us to ask four questions. If you came to ask me why we're leaning, why we did, you're in the... But to ask the fifth question, that's already Emunah LaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to put your faith in God, even when it doesn't make sense. But you say, but I don't understand, I pray, I give charity, I'm a good guy, and it's still not working out for me. Emunah. That's Abraham Avinu's trait. Not only when 1 plus 1 equals 2, even when 1 plus 1 equals 3, I accept. And the second test of Abraham Avinu, which is the harder test,
Kibud Avim's Chesed, that's easy. Now go shoo the mother bird away. Oh, but I'll eat the bird, I can't do it. Don't just do things that come naturally easy for you. You have to serve God in the most difficult as well. The good news is we're related to this towering spiritual giant. We have his goodness in us. That's what they call it, Zechut Avot. Rabbi Dessler says the word Zechut doesn't only mean merit. The word Zechut can be read Zakut. You know what Zakut means? Purity. Zach. Zakut Avot. We have the purity of the Avot in us. It's an amazing thing. No matter how many times you read this story, Chaim Palachi says, don't be shocked. There's 70 interpretations to every part of Torah. Every part of Torah can be studied 70 ways. So he wrote a book, and he explained the Pasuk 150 ways. So he writes in the book, but I told you there's only 70 ways. How did I come up with 150? He says, because when it says 70, it means every Jew has 70 interpretations to the Torah. And there's 600,000 Jews. So 600,000 times 70. He says, so I explained my 70, and some guy doesn't learn Torah, so I took his 70 also, so I have 150. I took another 10 from another guy also that's not studying. When you came in, you said, I said, we're talking about Akedah Yitzhak. What can he tell me? I never studied. I thought I was on first grade. What can he tell me about the Akedah Yitzhak that I don't know already? And all of a sudden you're scratching your head. Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know this. I didn't know this. Elohim, Tadiwan, Deen, Judgment, Shuaka. Hasinai came to Adam Moriah, boom, together. Nasim Mishmai started. Whoa, where's this all written? To show you, no matter how many times you open up the same stories over and over again. That's when you never finish. You think, okay, we exhausted Akedah Yitzhak. Guess what? Next year we'll come back again this time in Parashat Vayera. We're talking about Akedah. Someone says, excuse me, Rabbi, you talked about it last year. Okay. I'll repeat it. You tell me if you heard anything last year like I'm telling you tonight. Every year it just grows and grows and grows. We spent an hour talking about Abraham Avinu. What do you think? Abraham's not listening? He hears his name in the Shemaim, you know, when they talk about you, you start to itch, you start to sneeze. You talk about Avraham Avinu, hey, who's talking about me? What's going on? The guy comes to park, and you're in the real world. What are they saying? Oh, look how they're talking about me. Oh, they're talking with such kavod about what my test was in the Emunah. He comes along, he takes attendance. Who's here tonight? Give all the names. Go back to the Shemaim, go give them extra zechuyot. They came 10 o'clock at night in the middle of the week. They're tired. They talked about me and they gave me zechuyot. They spoke good. They explained it correctly. Zichut Avot Yagen Ba'adchem. Zichut Avraham Yagen Ba'adchem. The Emunah Timimah, the pure blind faith, should be inherited to all of us. And the ability to overcome our weakest trait. You can do it. Even the Rasha has the Ribbono Shel Olam rooting for him that he can overcome. Is this clear? Okay, we'll call it a night.